Jesus. All right, Exodus chapter, I'm sorry, did I tell you Exodus chapter 8?
Yeah.
No, it's verse 8, Exodus 16, 8. Right. Exodus chapter 16 and verse 8. The title of the message, "And What Are We?" And Moses said, "This shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, for that the Lord heareth your murmurings, which you murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord." And he says, "And what are we?" I'm going to tell you that this is a, I call it a commercial message. This is a message that will help you today. It's a resource. He said, "And what are we?" How often we put the circumstances, we were having a discussion a while ago, some of you weren't in on it, of our situations upon men. Upon men. Are we not in God's hands? And is not our way, those that are in Christ, or even, the truth is, even those in a sense outside Christ, but I'm talking to those in Christ, is our way not already made? I mean, it's already made. And thus our murmurings, are they not in reality directed at God? And boy, when that arrow hit me this week, it was a bullseye. Who has placed us here? You, me, at this hour. In this place, in this time, for this purpose. I think we all believe that. I believe we do. As with Joseph and so many of the more, was not the cause from God. And we murmur. I murmur. I'm not throwing rocks. I mean, I murmur. Was not the cause from God? Could not Jesus have cried out all the more towards his own lot when he was here? Even against the Romans, you remember, or the Pharisees of his day, could he not call 10,000 angels? Easily. He could have destroyed them all. He had this godly power. And yet at the last, he cries, "Lay it not to their charge." Wow. That's an incredible statement given the circumstances. The fact of the matter was not the cause from God. So we must be very careful of our murmurings and such. How often is the cause from God? And thus we blame God for our lot. We seek a way out of what's already written, you might say. Now, you can't certainly just not use this providence to justify. A lot of men, they'll use this to justify sin or any other such actions. They go, "Oh, well, it's, you know." And you can't do that. You can't use it as a license for sin. And because he's most certainly not the author of sin, nor does such thinking alleviate our responsibilities in this life. We still have responsibilities. And we must often, there used to be an old saying, we've got to pray with our feet. Quite often we have to pray with our feet. Like I said, he didn't lift those 600,000 besides women and children up and set them in the promised land. They had to, you might say, pray with their feet. They had to walk. And those in this Exodus, they had two roads to the promised land. Two roads. One was 40 days. They could have been there incredibly in 40 days, but they took the 40-year route. Man, I feel like I've done that sometimes. I could have been there in 40 days and it took 40 years. How often the Lord has said in his word, he goes, because. In other words, we took the 40 years instead of the 40 day, He'll say, because thou did this, or because thou did that. In other words, because of our actions, in other words, we reap what we sow. You see, the providence of God does not alleviate the fact of the matter that we reap what we sow. And so, don't blame God at such times. Look in the mirror to find the real blame most often. You see, Jonah reaped being thrown overboard. That's what he reaped. Because he sold him a ticket the opposite direction where God told him to go. But thank God for the whale. You see? I thought about that thing. God's given me this word, and I'm sitting down the other morning, and I'm writing it. And if I were to count the number of whales he's provided in my life, thank God for the whales. You see, he actually did save me from drowning once. And I was cast up upon the shore. And so many times I've been cast up upon the shore. Saved from loss. Another lap around Mount Seir, you see. How could we murmur against such a God? But we do. I know I do. Crying against my lot. And we get caught up in our own circumstances, and a murmuring we go. How'd I get here? Oh yeah, me. That's the problem. The problem is, M-E. God said, I am. Unfortunately, we changed that to M-E. It's me. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need, you see. If anybody ever had right, would it have been Joseph? He was a good guy. Sold into bondage. Falsely accused. Cast into prison. Do you think that, you be honest, we in the same situation, do you think we might have murmured? And we murmur, I'd murmur when the pancakes ain't right, you know? Is it any wonder that Joseph's often compared to our Lord himself, to Christ? He's always been, as far as I've been a preacher boy, he's a type of Christ. Listen, what I'm telling you today is, know your way before God. Not my way. See, that's the difference. Your way. And that's why I throw the cookie cutter away, because your way may not be my way. But it doesn't make either wrong. The smallest irritant, and I seem to murmur. Matter of fact, it's the small things I murmur about. If it was cataclysmic, I'd probably just stand there and go, oh, well. But it's the little things. Am I not blaming God? And as I was writing this, I put, forgive me, O Lord. Lord, please forgive me. Could we even speak of Job? Good grief, Job. His malady was of God. Hey, Satan, have you considered Job? My servant, a perfect and upright man. And then he had a gnawing wife that goaded him, said, why don't you curse God and die? If anyone ever had a case against God, would it not be Job? And what are we? And in the end, God says, Job, gird up your loins like a man. He said, I'm going to demand of you. Not much pity party there. But now, all of this, we must know, and here's the, you must know your way with God. I haven't brought it up in a while. I can't believe it. For years, it concerned me. You don't know your cross. You don't know your talent. You don't know your gift. You don't know your way. We must learn to accept our time and circumstance with God. There were times when Paul actually fled from those who would have killed him. There were times he fled, and there were times that he didn't. There were times he sat there and took it. They stoned him, thought he was dead, left him for dead. So you got to know when it's time to just hands up or pull the trigger. You see? You've got to know the times. There's times to stand. There's times to fight. There's times to run. There's times to go underground. There's time to be out in the open. As I've so often said, you've heard me, trouble with most is that they don't know what time it is. They don't know what time it is. I was speaking with a lady Friday. And what she really needs to do, she needs to look at her spiritual watch so that she knows what time it is for her in this life. You see, the devil and his minions, they always seem to know what time it is. Isn't that amazing? You know, do you remember the psalm? And he says, man, Lord, look at all these rich. Man, they're living good and everything's going good for those people. And they've got this great life and they don't have any this. And they, you know. But you know why I think that is? Because they're of single purpose. You consider that. Because we're free. You and I are free. They're in bondage. And we're free over even devils. Wow. We're free. They're in bondage. We're free. We act like we're in bondage. They act like they're free. It's an oxymoron, really, a conundrum. They seem free to do as they like all the while they're in bondage. And we seemingly in bondage. Yet we're free. But you see, those in Christ Jesus, those of us that have truly been born again in the Spirit of God, I can testify, I've lived both. I've lived in bondage, and I've lived in liberty. You see. Being once dead, actually, in bondage to sin. Dead in trespasses and sin. Total bondage. My will was bent to sin. But now, free in Christ Jesus. And I've got a liberty in Christ that the natural man can't know of. And any time that you're in bond, listen, and this is very important. It kind of has to do with the discussion we had. That's why I love those verses in Colossians. You got to be aware of the doctrines and the rudiments of men. You see? Because, listen, any time you're in bondage, it's not the Lord. Now you think about that. You think about it when you go get dressed. Oh, I have to wear this. I can't wear it. That's not the Lord. See, we never thought about that. Oh, I have to do this. That's bondage. You know why? Because we don't have to. We may choose to, that's freedom. But if we have to, that's what? That's bondage, you see. You might say, what about those in Egypt? Well, they didn't have Christ. Totally different dispensation. We have the new will and testament, you see. Free, listen. Free from sin. Glory. Free from sin. Wow. Don't preach that. You see, modern religion, they reverse this course. falsely assuming that a man has this free will to choose God. I think all of us have been through that deal, you see. But you see, my freedom came only after God chose me. That's when I got free. I was in bondage. You might as well say I was Joseph in the prison. No, worse, I was Smokey in the graveyard. I was dead. Dead man can't choose anything. You see, prior to that, I was adrift on the sea of life. Just adrift on the sea of life. But now you see, I have direction. So how foolish to blame he who shows me the light, who directs my steps. Murmuring, complaining. You see? Amen. That's like amen from a baby. So I must always be cognizant of the time. Because God's given us, listen, and God's given you and I the freedom to redeem such, to redeem this time. You just turn to one scripture this morning, the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1. And he said, listen, I love this verse. I love this chapter of Ecclesiastes. I could just read it over and over. It's one of my favorite chapters in Scripture. To everything, there's a season. And a time to every purpose under the heaven. Now, there was a song. There was a protest song in the 60s of that. And so it's easy for me to remember. You see? To everything, there's a season and a purpose. There's a purpose for that thing. You see? You say, why am I going through this? Why am I here? Why do I have to? Well, I don't know. Ask God. Because God's given us the freedom to redeem such. Unbeknownst to most, the child of God's been given a spiritual clock of sorts. He really had it. You might say, some call it a spiritual compass. You could go there. To know such things. But I think we too often maybe forget to wind it. Okay? Now, I've got that here. I've got it on my arm. I'm taking it off. Can you all see me? No, of course you can't. Some of you can, some of you can't. And this is the watch I favor. I get a lot of compliments on this watch, and I've had it for a long time now. And I like it so well, I bought Melissa one just like it. And I've got a drawer full of watches, and they're all there. I like watches. It's kind of one of my deals, and you can't own just one. And I love watches. I'm enthralled with watches, clocks, that something can keep the time. And I look at this watch, and it's the one I favor. I wear it every day. And its movement, listen, it doesn't have a battery. And you can't take the stem and turn it and wind it. Its movement depends on who?
You.
Me. Good brother. Me. It depends on me. And what happens if I stop moving it?
It dies.
It quits. Doesn't tell me the time. No battery. Me. If I don't move it, it stops. Perhaps we've not done our part in this walk of faith. So when you murmur, as we say, maybe you're already praying with a loaf of bread in your hand. Okay? Maybe we're not doing our part. Did not Christ, speaking of faith, say, this part cometh not but by prayer and fasting? Talked to two people this past week that were fasting. Two different people. As the old adage I said before, we're to pray with our feet. If you don't pray with your feet, this watch will stop. God got them out of Egypt. But there was, listen, it wasn't done. There was many a battle and many a step got those people to the promised land. So don't forget to move that watch. Melissa will see me sometime and I walk in. We're sitting in here and she says, "What are you doing?" And I got this watch and I'm moving it all around. Is yours running right now? No. Poor watch. But I bet if you pick it up, what'll happen? Kind of like owning a Bible. Kind of like praying. Kind of like going to church. Kind of like fellowship with the saints. You say, don't forget to move that watch. Because it'll stop running. And then what you do, you blame it on God. You'll end up murmuring, you see. You see, he but gives this life. It's we that must live it, that must move. And what are we? Are we not the sons of God, as many as led by the Spirit of God? Romans 8:14, one of my favorite verses. They are the sons of God. Led of the Spirit. That's what we are. Now, what are you? You see, what are you?